Woo! I sense the Spirit of the Lord moving in the house today, do you not? Father, we give you praise, honor, and glory, and thanksgiving from our hearts for just being here today, moving in this place by the wind of your Spirit, bringing the cloud of your glory, bringing your presence, and we give you praise and honor and glory that you have found it possible. And I know it's always possible with God, but to be here among your people. I pray, Lord, that every need would be met. I pray, Lord, that everybody would be healed. I pray, Lord God, that every mind would be set at peace and that every soul would have the joy of the Lord this very day. Let your will be done in this place. In Jesus' name, I sense a breakthrough today, breaking through into the favor of God, the blessings of God, the promise of God. Thank you, Lord, that we are about to break through into your goodness and that we indeed shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In the land that you live in this place among your people, we give you praise, honor, and glory. And let us, Lord, come to a new level of faith, a new level of spiritual understanding this very day, a new level of gifting by your Spirit this day. Let God's people receive the fullness of the promise this day, even in this moment, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come and bring the word of the Lord that is spiritual manna to us, that helps us, feeds us, gives us wisdom, and cause it to be to each one the blessing of a breakthrough. In Jesus' mighty name, now tell somebody you're looking very good in the Lord today. Stay there and you'll be just okay. Well, this series that I've called The Circle of Stones is designed to help position ourselves to receive the prophesied blessings of this season. How many of you know that's on God's mind, on God's heart? But He said, I'm going to give you a season in which I'm going to bring my favor and my blessings, and I would have you to receive the whole of it, the fullness of it, for I want my children to be blessed. And again this week I read another prophetic word, I think it was Todd Bentley, that said, this is a time of God's favor. Now that is at least three of us that have stated that. I was the first. I like to be first, but it's okay if other people follow suit, because it just reinforces the fact that God indeed is speaking about a time of favor, time of blessing, and we certainly want to receive that. So I'm preaching this series. I'm already preached on that in Sunday school again today. Because God wants us to have the wisdom to position ourselves to receive all of His favor. And everybody said, amen and amen. A little bit of review. We began this series with a journey to Gilgal. Gilgal means a circle of stones. It's a circle of 12 stones. And if you position yourself in the middle of those 12 stones, you come under the divine rule, because 12 is the number of God's government. You come under His rule, and if you come and live in the circle of eternal life, those stones become living, and God brings us forth into the fullness of what He has for us. The promise of God's blessings. So, at Gilgal, we go and take a spiritual journey. You will remember, represents two things to us. Two things that must be done if we're going to receive the blessings of God. First and foremost, the reproach that the enemy has laid upon you must be removed, rolled away. The shame that the enemy has brought to you through his voice, by his lies, must be cast off. And everybody said, let's do it today. We take a spiritual journey to Gilgal and have the reproach, the shame removed. That's the first thing. Because otherwise we're going to abide in condemnation, and condemnation kills faith. And it is faith that receives the blessings of God. And everybody knows that, right? Okay, so we roll away the reproach, condemnation is defeated, and then we renew the covenant promises of God, because in Him they're yes and amen to the glory of God through us. So we renew the covenant promises the written covenant promises that are in His Word. And if you read it, you have many promises of God that He will bring you through to victory all the time. All the time. Every time. God who leads us in triumph always. It does not mean that we will not go through something, because the Bible promises us trials and tribulations. But we have also another promise that says through all of those trials, through all of those tribulations, you will have victory. Amen. So that's good to know, isn't it? Good to know that even though the trials come, the victory is going to come. Even though the trials are there to make you stronger, the trials are there to make you depend upon God, the victory will come. All right, so you're with me in this review, right? We get the reproach removed. We get the covenant promises of God reestablished in our hearts. First and foremost, we know that He wants to bless us. And if He wants to, who's going to keep Him from it? Not the devil. Not anybody else. Right? Okay. Once the covenant promises are renewed, we must activate our faith to receive the prophet's reward. That was last week's message. In other words, we must believe the prophetic words that have been spoken regarding this season of God's favor and His blessings. And I think most of you do. Amen? Before God does anything, He shares what He's going to do with His prophets. The Bible says that. And so when He gets ready to pour out some aspect in any given season, He's going to reveal it to those that have listening ears, and they're going to announce it to His people, and then His people are going to believe that word and receive the promise, or not believe the word and not receive the promise. And it's very simple, just a choice. Last week we examined Mary's response to the prophetic word. Now what was it? Let it be unto me according to your word. And then we watched David take the prophetic word that Nathan gave him, and he took it in and he sat with it on his heart before the Lord. Mm-hmm. How many of you did that this last week after that message? No hands? It is important that you do that. And David didn't go in and just say, oh, thanks, Lord. He rejoiced in the word, which goes back to what Marcia preached in Sunday school today. That joy covers the prophetic word and brings it to pass. Since most of you didn't do that this week, I'm going to read these a couple of scriptures again. I asked the Lord, well, why am I going to put these in here again? Because I read these last week, and He said, but some didn't get it. Okay. So David went in, and this is what he said in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 25. Now, O Lord God, the word which you have spoken, the prophetic word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, establish it forever. So he didn't just hear it and leave it there. He went back to God, and God says, prove me in these things. Test me in these things. Reinforce and establish what I've spoken, because when you do it, it's not like God has forgotten, but it gets established in your heart. Amen? Okay. In verse 28, he said, now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true. The prophetic word, the preceding word was true. And you have promised this goodness to me. Whoa. Now, therefore, let it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you, O Lord, have spoken it, and your blessing... with your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed forever. And David spoke that. That's a second step in receiving the promise of God. Remember, we went to Gilgal first? We rolled away the shame so that we're eligible, that we are children of God, that God loves us, even though we've made mistakes. Those mistakes are covered by the blood of the Lord. And he said, I want you to roll away the shame and the reproach. Now renew the covenant promises. And now take that prophetic word that I've given you and come before me with thanksgiving in your heart and rejoice over it as though it's already come to pass. So we can do something. And God wants us to do something. Have you all figured out that this is a partnershiping thing, this Christian walk? It's not like God did it all and we're just here to receive it. We have to participate with Him. We have to participate in faith. We have to use the faith, the measure that He's given us when we're brought into the kingdom of God, and we have to exercise it so that it grows mightily. We have to fight the good fight of faith. We have to war a good warfare. We have to believe the promises. We have to stand against the enemy. We have to pray and believe God. We have to trust God in the midst of adverse circumstances. We have to believe God when we're ill, when we're sick, when the devil is trying to ruin our lives. We have to stand up and say, I believe in God Most High that He will bring me through. Rather than, boy, I wish He'd do better for me. Gee, Lord, why'd You let me go through this? Why are these things happening to me? Have you figured out that bad things happen to good people? And God allows it. For your strengthening. For your testing. So that you can become a king and rule with Him with no grumbling in your heart. But the only thing that is left in there, and this is such a great, great revelation, and once you ever break through a circumstances by using worship and praise, when you don't feel like it, offering the sacrifice of praise, you'll never be the same again. And the devil will have lost a good portion of the ground that he uses against you. It's like, go ahead and throw it. I'm going to rejoice through it. Bring on the test, because my God will deliver me out of all of these circumstances. He's for me. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said after being shipwrecked, after being beaten, after being drug out of town, dead, after being raised up, after being in much adversity? And what was his final statement? Momentary, light affliction, because my God delivered me out of all of these things. See, and his faith was strengthened in that. Well, I'm going to take you to the third step today on the basis of a prophetic word. And we're going to write a decree of justice. I want to tell you that this is one of the most powerful things that God has ever shown Marcia and I. And every time that we have sat down and written a decree in the name of the Lord and brought it before the throne of the Lord, it has without fail come to pass. Do you hear what I'm telling you? This is the final step. Okay? You've already gone. You've had the reproach rolled away. You have reestablished the covenant of promises. You've taken the word of God, the prophetic word, and you've rejoiced over it. You've taken it as your own, and you have established it in your heart. And now you're going to put an end to the devil's desire to steal that word from you. Because he does. Whenever God gives a promise, the enemy wants to take it away from you. Why would he want to do that? Because he wants to turn you against God. He wants you to think that God doesn't love you and that God doesn't care about you. He desires to steal your promises. You have read your book, have you not? And it says that he is a thief. Father of lies, he's a thief, and he's a murderer. In that order. Okay. So you have the promise. So in order to secure the blessing, you're going to fight the good fight of faith. And everybody said, okay. Amen. I'm going to fight. It's not going to just happen to me. God said it, now I'm going to fight to take it. I'm going to fight. And we see that principle in the Bible, don't we? When Israel got ready to go into the promised land and across the Jordan River, and God said, I'm going to give it to you, now go fight for it. And that seemed to be a paradox, but it is not, because God is with us in the fight, and He wants us to participate so that that partnershiping is ongoing, and at the end of partnershiping, we have fellowship with God. His part, our part. His part's done. When Jesus said on the cross, it's finished. All provision for us was made then, over 2,000 years ago. So, you're going to fight against what? You're going to fight against reproach? Because he's going to try to bring it back and tell you you're not worthy to receive the promise? It was so good to see Connie dance today, and Liberty is doing a really good job of dancing. I really enjoy that when the Spirit of God comes and moves people and release that anointing in God's house. Amen? James 4:7 says, draw nigh unto God, resist the devil, and he has to flee from you. He will flee from you. If he hasn't gone away, if he's still there, guess what? We haven't resisted hard enough in faith in God. Amen? I believe this with all of my heart, that if I have the Spirit of God upon me, and the Spirit of God living in me, and the fruit of the Spirit is there, that there is a divine outflow that creates, and I talked about this in Sunday school a little bit, a spiritual atmosphere of blessings. And everything in that realm of my blessings are blessed. My house is blessed. My land is blessed. The things that God has given me to watch over are blessed. My automobiles are blessed. Because I meet the criteria to have God's presence over them. Listen, I have prayed over motors that quit working, that went on and worked, and to my knowledge are still working today. Now people would say, can we really expect God to do that? Why not? He gave us the knowledge to invent them. Huh? Can He multiply gas? Testimonies of people that run out of gas, God gives them gas in the car, right? Happened to Connie Bunny down here on the front row. Can God translate us? He's translated Marcia. She had to come to town. She was late. She got here in something like 5 minutes, which is an absolute impossibility, even with the high speeds of travel that she's able to assume. So all things, it is true that all things are possible with God, but do we believe it? That's my question to you. Do you believe that God is in charge of all things? Listen, Here is something that will help you. God created this planet, yes? Through Jesus Christ, because nothing was brought forth apart from the Word, from Jesus Christ. It says that in John chapter 1. Okay. Everything in the universe was created by God. It has His DNA in it. And that includes you. Were you created by God? Then if that be the case, everything in the universe has to live in subjection to His Word. Ah. And it says that in Scripture. And Jesus is upholding all things that were created by the power of His Word in Hebrews. So, even that includes the devil. Is living in subjection to the Word of God. And so when he comes to your house, what do you put him under? The authority of the Word of God, and he has to submit. He has to go. If you do that in faith. Amen? Okay. Very, very powerful weapon is to write a decree of justice, and I'm going to read a prophetic word that came on May the 14th. And the Lord said this, write a decree of my justice. It didn't say he's done it. He's already done it in his word. He said, you do it. For it shall become a flying scroll that enters into the house of the thief and the one who swears falsely by my name. Write a decree, for it shall go out into all the land, and it will find my enemies, those who are against my anointed ones. And that includes Satan and his kingdom. It is the time of my indignation. It is a time when my wrath will come. I will indeed even come to my house first. And why is that in there? Because judgment must come to the house of God first. And those that are not really His in the house, are not living in accordance in obedience to Him in the house, are going to come under His curse as well. He says, I will strike the enemy with the fierceness of my wrath, and I shall strike him where he promotes injustice. And where he lies and tells untrue tales, so my people arise, this is a day of justice and judgment. It is a day that I will come like an angry man against the enemies of my household, says the Lord. Now we want to take advantage of that, do we not? He said, you write a decree against, and let me just paraphrase this according to each person's circumstance. You write a decree in my name concerning the circumstances that you're dealing with that Satan is hindering. Take it to court. Go to God's court. And I'll read those scriptures. This flying scroll that was mentioned is also revealed in Zechariah 5:1, and I'll read it to you. Then I turned my eyes, the prophet says, and saw a flying scroll, and he said to me, what do you see? And I answered, and I said, I see a flying scroll. And its length is 20 cubits and its width is 10 cubits. Exactly the dimensions of a satellite transponder. And so this word went out over a satellite transponder to the whole world. Then he said to me, this is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled according to this side of the scroll, and every perjurer shall be expelled according to that side of it. I will send out the curse, says the Lord of hosts. This is God's curse. And it shall enter the house of the thief, and that includes Satan, who's trying to steal from you the blessings, and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. So even Christians who swear falsely by his name are in trouble here. And it shall remain in the midst of the house and consume it with its timbers and stones. And God said, write a decree of my justice. All of you. Amen? Each and every one. Write a decree of my justice. Asking God to judge your case. Have you ever done that? Well, Marcia, like I said, we've done that, and God has done so, and he has brought retribution to the enemies that were withholding, whether it be curses from people or whether it be the devil himself. And he has released those problem areas. But you have to do this by... Come on, we live by faith, we walk by faith. We're people of faith. We believe in God and his word, and when we do, his word cannot return void. Amen. Write a decree of my justice. Ask God to judge your case in his courtroom. 2 Chronicles 6:23 says, this was Solomon's part of Solomon's prayer. Lord, hear from heaven and act and judge your servants, bringing retribution on the wicked by bringing his way on his own head. Every curse that comes against you from somebody else is going to go back to them. And justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. Position of right standing before the Lord. That means that you're living to the best of your knowledge in a place of obedience to God's word, and you have no sin that is unconfessed and uncovered. Amen? Listen, it's foolish to expect God to bless us if we're going to live in sin. Cannot happen. Amen? Okay. Daniel chapter 7. We're going to go to the heavenly court. This is a courtroom that's not on the earth. It is above the Supreme Court of the United States. It's in the heavenly place. Write a decree of justice. And it is established in the word of the Lord. Amen? As we'll see. Daniel 7 and 9. Daniel is seeing this. He says, I watched until thrones, try to put yourself in the vision, thrones were put in place. And the Ancient of Days, somebody say, that's the Father God, was seated. His garment was white as snow, and his hair and the of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels. And you have to go back to Ezekiel's wheels. You have to go back to the fact that his son looks like this the same way in the book of Revelation. There's much that we could preach on here, but basically I'm going a little bit different direction this morning. Verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. One of those could be you, ministering in praise and worship. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. One of those could be you. And the court was seated and the books were opened. So if you have a picture of a courtroom, you've all been in a courtroom probably at one time in your life. And the judge is sitting up there. And right over here is your lawyer. And his name is Jesus. He's your advocate. And the really cool part about this is that the judge is your lawyer's Father. Now, I think that means that we can expect a good report, a good judgment, don't you? Because Jesus being our advocate. Okay, so the court's seated. Let's go to verse 21. I was watching in the same horn. Why does the Bible refer to a person as a horn here? Because a horn in Scripture is a revelation of authority. But this is a little horn. This is the spirit of Antichrist. So we could say, I was watching, and the spirit of Antichrist was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. Do I have any witnesses in the house? until the Ancient of Days came. Remember, the court is seated. And a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. Are we in a time of favor? A time of favor. We're in a time of favor. A judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came. Oh, thank God. Because most of Christians have been through some hard times in these past few years. Come on. Is there anybody here that has escaped the hard times? Because if you have, raise your hand. I want to talk to you and figure out how you did it. But, it says, but the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom and the kingdom promises. Daniel 7:25 now. And he here is Satan. Satan shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He's still doing that today. Shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change the times and the law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and a half a time. I wish mine would have been the half a time. I got the full thing, though. I got a time and a times and a half. Some of you got a half a time. And that's good. Nevertheless, God allowed persecution, God allowed circumstances in these past few years that have been challenging. Do I have any witnesses in the house of God? They've been challenging. What were they designed to do? Grow your faith. Grow your trust in God. Get stronger. Quit being a wimp. Quit complaining. Get up, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. Verse 26, but the court shall be seated. Okay, here's where the court. We're taking our decree to where? The court. And they shall take away His dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Who's going to do that? It didn't say God was, it says they will. That's us. Amen. Verse 27. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people. The saints of the Most High, His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey Him. That means the devil's kingdom too. Amen. Now, I want to read to you Psalm 89, verse 13. Lord, you have a mighty arm, strong as your hand and high as your right hand, righteousness and justice. God is a God of justice. We're writing a decree of justice. They are the foundation of your throne. Remember when it said the thrones were established in the heavenlies, where the Lord was seated? And high is your right hand, the hand of His authority, the hand of His power, the hand of His rule. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound, Marsha. Okay. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name, they rejoice all day long. Yeah. And in your righteousness, they are exalted, for you are the glory of their strength, and your favor, our horn, is exalted. And in your favor, Lord, our authority is exalted. In your favor, Lord, our authority is established. In your favor, Lord, the promise is a sure thing. Okay? Psalm 103 and 6 says, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. That is, if they are making the joyful sound. If they are trusting in God, if they are believing in God, if they are continuing to walk with God in a place and expecting God to break them through, then God will. This is one of my pet peeves in Christendom, is the fact that how can God's people think that they can walk in a place of having absolute no joy, absolutely no peace, can be grumbling and complaining all the time and expect God to bless them? It ain't going to happen. So if we're going to write a decree, we better do it with joy. What does that mean? We know that it will be answered. We know that God will bring us through. We know that God is going to establish us. We know that God is going to bring us through to victory. We know that if the Lord is for us, it doesn't matter how many are against us. It does not matter what they have in mind. It does not matter about the conspiracies that they are planning. If my God is for me, nobody and no demon spirit can bring me to ruin. I will triumph in all ways, in all things, at all times. So my word to you today is I want you to think about what it is that you want to receive as a promise, the seed of the promise that you've already hidden in your heart that is being contended for by the devil, and I want you to write on a piece of paper your right to receive that word. But we'll do that corporately here by way of speaking it in a little bit. But this is the third thing. I want you to expect that God, because God is a God of mercy and truth, because God is a God of righteousness, because God's court is seated in His time, because He has promised favor, that you're going to get it, but you're going to have to participate. It doesn't just fall on us like the summer rain does. We have to ask for the rain. In the time of the rain will come. Amen? And then when the rain comes, it's going to water the seed of the promise, and it will manifest itself to you, but you got to believe it. We must believe that God is for us. If, now this, let me just do, I like to do this just a little common sense reasoning. If God is for me, if God is going to bring me through, if God is going to bring the promise, if God is going to bring the victory, how then can I be sad? How then can I have no joy? How can I have no peace over the situation? How is that if I really believe that God is for me? Does everybody here believe that God is for you? If you don't believe that, you are not believing the Bible. Because God in the Scripture says, I'm going to make a way to translate you into the kingdom of the Son of my love. You will become my child whom I will watch over. All of my blessings are yes and amen through Christ Jesus to the glory of God through you, my people. I'm for you. The enemy will test you because I have allowed him to test you, but his purpose is to make you stronger, not to defeat you, but to make you stronger. His purpose is to bring adversity that you can go through trusting me. And when you come out the other side, then you can give me all the glory. But better if you give me glory all the way through, because then the journey's shorter. Took me a long time to figure that out, that I could be in the test as long as I wanted to. And being a man who does not really like a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, and a lot of adversity, I am interested in figuring out the quickest way through the desert to the promise. And I found out that if I will not grumble and not complain and trust in God and worship Him through the trial on the basis of the fact that He's going to bring me through, then it's shorter. And I'm not into long suffering. I know that's a fruit of the Spirit, but you know, I took that part in my Bible and I put in parentheses above it, short suffering. And then I said, Lord, I know that some people need long suffering, but they're not all of your people need long suffering. Some learn quickly and some learn faster. And to those people, I know it's short. That's not blasphemy. It's just that I want to go through it quickly. Amen? So do you, don't you? Right, John? We don't want to spend a lot of time out there in adversity when golf season is here. When the grass is green and it's time to pack the picnic lunch. We waited for summer a long time, didn't we, Crimley Knights? And we want to enjoy summer to the fullest, do we not? And we don't want to be struck down with adversity and problems, do we? Then let's line up with God's Word and float through it for a season with great joy and expectation that God is with us. Amen? Take all of the problems and put them on the shelf and say, Lord, I know they're there, but I know they're yours. And I know that they're yours because I'm your child and you have responsibility for me. It is amazing to me that people have not learned this measure of walking in a place of trust by faith in God, who will always bring them out and through. And if I know that I'm always going to have victory, can I give Him a little praise? A little worship? A little joy? Can I act like I have victory instead of long face? I'm tired of long-faced, grumbling Christians. I really am. I'm not against them. I'm just thinking, they don't know the secret to victorious Christian living. And yes, they would say to me, well, but you don't know what I've gone through. Let me tell you what I've been through. Let me tell you that if you walked my path, you wouldn't want to. When God called me to preach the Word of God, had He sit down and told me how hard it was going to be, how much persecution I would have received, how much the devil would have attacked me, I would have said, Lord, let me think about it. But I'm here to tell you, like Paul, out of all of these persecutions, attacks, momentary light afflictions, which didn't seem so momentary or light at the time. You can only say that after the fact. Out of all of them, my God has delivered me. The devil's been trying to kill me for a lot of years. When I began to preach, he came to me, and I was able even to see him, and he said, if you do this, I will kill you. And he's tried, but he has not succeeded, because greater is he that's in me than the one that's after me. And we will always come through. Then let's act like we're going to come through. Let's act like God is really the God of glory, the God of goodness. Let's act like we're victorious, and we will be. Now, I'm not talking about some presumptuous facade, because you can't rejoice before the throne of God unless it's in your heart. It's like you can do that knee-jerk thing and say, well, if I rejoice, it'll be okay. No, you have to really believe that it'll be okay. You have to really believe that God is a God of goodness. You have to believe that He's for you and not against you. You have to believe that He will bring you through. And the best way that I know to do that is renew the covenant promises. Get in the Word and see what He says about you. I mean, when I read scriptures that say, through every trial and tribulation He will deliver me, something happens to me. I don't know about you, but something goes off down inside of me that causes my faith to ignite, and pretty soon I'm on fire. I'm ready for the battle. I'm ready to go. If we can remember that the Word of the Lord says, I will lead you in triumph in every situation, every battle, every attack, every affliction, what happens to you? Do you say, well, bring it on? Or do you say, Lord, not me. I don't want to go through that. I want life to be really easy. I want it to be pleasant. I want everybody to be nice to me all the time. Ha ha, they ain't going to be. I want every Christian to be filled with the Spirit of God and love me with all their hearts. And it's not going to happen. I want the devil to stay in Africa and never come over here again. And never visit my house again and never get in my circumstance. It's not going to happen. Have you read the book of Revelation where Jesus says to every one of the seven church dispensations, and even those seven churches are alive today, He says, to the overcomer. Oh, man, I hate this kind of preaching. Because I'm involved in it. And He says, to the overcomer I will grant all the good things. Well, what am I going to overcome if I don't have problems? What am I going to overcome if there's not a devil loose? What am I going to overcome if I don't have trials and tribulations and adverse circumstances? What am I going to overcome? Opportunities to overcome are allowed by God, who will deliver you out of that and cause you to be... See, overcome means that you had victory over it. Amen? Doesn't mean that it overcame you. You overcame it. Now, if Jesus says to the overcomer, I will grant, it means it's possible.
And it means that he believes that you will. He has great faith in you. I mean, I think about how much faith God has in people. It just scares me. Think about Jesus and trusting the greatest message in the world to 12 unfaithful disciples. And you know that they had some unfaithfulness in there in the beginning because he kept saying, "Get behind me, Peter. Oh, you of little faith," he said to them. Oh. But to the overcomer. So what are we doing? I better get back on track here. What is a decree? Because the Lord said, write a decree of justice. A decree is a spiritual law that demands justice concerning any given case. And a decree in the name of the king becomes his law and demands his justice. And he said, write a decree. Amen. How many of you are actually going to do this? I mean, if you don't have anything that you need God's justice over, that's fine. You don't have to write it. But most do. Most are in a position of having hindering spirits work against them. Because the devil wants to defeat you. Amen? Okay. Now, I want to give you an example. If you want to turn to the book of Esther. In the book of Esther, we have this dude named Haman, who is a bad boy. And he represents Satan's work against God's people. And he sent out a decree to destroy God's people. And the king signed it, not understanding or knowing what it was about, obviously. But Esther revealed the plot to the king, who gave her authority to write a decree that brought victory to God's people. Justice was served, and Haman was hanged on the gallows that he built for Mordecai. Don't you love that kind of justice? You know, are you turning to Esther chapter 8? And I go back to this word where the Lord said, let me just look again so I don't mess it up. He said, I'm going to strike the enemy with the fierceness of my wrath, and I will strike him where he promotes injustice, where he lies and tells untrue tales. So this is an example in Scripture of the power of a decree. Esther 8, verse 7. Then King Ahasuerus, aren't you glad you don't have that name? If you had that name, Brady, they would butcher and call you Horserus or something, you know? And we'd finally shorten it down to pony, you know. So we could deal with it. King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and Mordecai the Jew, indeed, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and they hanged him on the gallows because he tried to lay hands on the Jews. Verse 8. Now, you yourselves write a decree. See, we would think, well, won't the king write the decree? God, why don't you write a decree? He's already done the decree in the book called the Bible. But it may need your signature regarding your circumstances, and that's what we see here. He said, you yourselves, in verse 8, write a decree concerning the Jews as you please in the king's name. Isn't that what Jesus has done for us? He said, use my name. I give you power of attorney. Whatever you pray in my name, I will do. Amen? And seal it with the king's signature ring, for whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. Are you hearing me? The prophetic word that the Lord gave us said, write a decree. Write it in the name of Jesus. Take it to the heavenly court and present it to the Father and say, Lord, this is my petition. This is what you promised. This is what the enemy is trying to do. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. Verse 11.
By these letters, the king permitted the Jews who were in every city to gather together and protect their lives. This is, you can find yourself in this story. God did not forbid the enemy to come against them. He gave them permission to destroy the ones who came against them. To destroy, kill, and annihilate all the forces of any people or province that would assault them, both little, children, women, and plunder their possessions. How many of you read the story of Esther and you know the outcome? They won. They won. And to plunder their possessions as well. Which is, in my estimation, the same thing as recovering that which the enemy has stolen and that which has been lost. And the Lord said in one prophetic word, and I'll give you even more. But first you have to recover, because recovery requires something on your part. Recovery means that you go to battle. Recovery means that you destroy the enemy. Recovery means that you have beat him so off of your stuff that you can take it back. Amen? And to strike him and to strike him. So if you have been with me in this series, you have learned three things. First of all, roll away the reproach. Get rid of the condemnation. Live in obedience to the renewed covenant that God is putting in your heart. Renew the covenant. Renew the promises. You have to do that in a spirit of obedience. That's the first thing. Secondly, embrace the prophetic word, and you shall receive its promise. Rejoice over it and worship God who made the promise. Fight for the promise. That's the third thing, which we're preaching on today. Write a decree of justice and take it before the throne of God, and then you can have 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in Him are yes and in Him are amen, to the glory of God through you and I. I want you to receive all that God has for you. I want you to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit with fire. I want you to receive the manifestation of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit and the 9 fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. I want you to be a servant of God and walk in such a place that you will find yourself translated into the valley of vision, and God will open your eyes and show you things to come. I want you to experience this Christian life as it ought to be experienced and in no other way. I do not want you to live a defeated life. I do not want you to have to grumble and complain, because you will have seen the goodness of the Lord in the land that you live in, because you're living in a place of obedience and faith. I want you to be an overcomer in all things. I want you to be able to resist the devil and watch him flee from you when he comes to your door. I want you to secure all that God has for you. And today I have told you how. These things that we can do will secure the blessing and bring the favor of God into our lives. And we shall find ourselves, as the scripture says, to be more than conquerors. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors. In all of these things, we know the Lord God of heaven, creator of all that He upholds by the power of His word, including ourselves. And we are His ambassadors. We have been given His authority, His word, the power of His kingdom that resides in us, which temple of God we are. So right now, we're going to write a decree, and I'm going to have you stand up for this one. You may still want to write one out on paper and take it before the Lord and rejoice over the outcome of it. But on the tablets of our hearts and our mind today, let us write this decree by speaking it. And maybe I will inspire something in you that will cause your faith to ignite. Lord God of heaven, our God, you are my God, In you I trust. In you I believe. And through you I receive all of the blessings, all of the promises, for they are through Jesus Christ, yes and amen. And today, I write a decree before you on the basis of your prophetic word and the promise, on the basis of the blood of Jesus and the victory that it brings, I present to you, Lord God, my case, the case that I have written on the tablets of my heart this moment regarding the circumstances that are set against me, the adversities that are working against me, the infirmities that are working against me, the spirit of death that desires to kill me and kill victory in my life. I bring this decree before you as the Ancient of Days, before your court to make a judgment on, even now, Lord God of Heaven. And I know that because of your judgment, your justice will flow forth as a river in my life, and my adversaries shall be defeated, each and every one of them, in the name of Jesus, amen and amen.